Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalary Podcast. I'm Steve. He is...
Reverend Larry.
Oh. What? It's kind of like a mixed metaphor there. It's
I'm,
like...
I'm a little confused by it myself. I'm not sure I like it. You go with the first name. Don't you go, sir? When you do sir, you don't do his last name. You go Sir Lawrence, don't you? You don't go Sir Van Beek.
I think you're right.
Yeah.
Sir Reginald, right?
That's yes. Yes, that's right. Sir Reginald. Was it Sir Percival, if you go back to the Pendragon series?
Oh, look at you go.
Was there ever a thought that Arthur was real?
I believe he was, yeah.
Yeah. Like the legend of the sword and the stone and all that. But yeah. I think that they thought Arthur might have been real. I've seen several different takes, like in movies.
Right.
Of Arthur.
Right. So you're trying to tell me that a system of government where a lady... rises out of a lake and hands a person a sword? No, I'm just joking.
It makes me think of Monty Python, the Holy Grail.
That's what he says, right? Where he says, like, so you're trying to tell me that.
Well, he says that earlier on. Remember, they're picking up the clumps of dirt.
Yeah, that's right.
And he starts to.
Who's your king? I am Arthur. I didn't vote for you. Anyway, as we talk about royalty, let's talk about Esther tonight, buddy.
We are back into royalty, and I had to go over this one more time. Because as soon as we start reading this, we're going to find out that that Mordecai, so he was the son of a bunch of guys, but he came to Jerusalem in the captivity of Jehoiakim. And I think it actually says he came over in the captivity of Jehoiakim.
Okay.
Where this causes us grief is the captivity of Jehoiakim is probably 592. 586 is the main captivity.
Right.
We sometimes like to push Daniel as late as 607, right? But Jehoiakim the king, Jehoiachin, I think, not Kim. Jehoiachin the king was he was a puppet king, and he was finally they finally deposed him and took him in 592. But if Mordecai, even if he was a baby when he went in 592, if she married Xerxes in 473, that puts him well over 100 years old.
Oof.
And that starts to cause us trouble. Now, there's a couple of different ways that people deal with that. They say that probably he came over as a baby, and that she actually didn't marry Xerxes but married Darius, which would put it up as late as 538 and makes him about 85.
Okay.
And then you deal with it that way. But we like to stay with it being Xerxes because scripture says Xerxes. But you know, you know with the Bible, the Bible is true and everything in it is true.
But calm down, everyone who just had a little connection.
Yeah. I don't want to go there. But I do want to go to say that when you're dealing with these names of Persia, they're just all over the place.
Right.
And trying to nail them down is really too difficult. So, but if let's say he's 70 or 80 years old, well, what's your face? Esther. Mm-hmm. Esther was his cousin, right?
Right.
And so then they have to figure out how you can make her young enough. If he's even in his 80s, if he's that old, how do you make her young enough? And they play games. They work it really hard. And they say, well, maybe his brother was his father's brother was the very youngest of the family, and his father was the oldest of the family. And so you might get a 20, 30 year gap there. And then maybe she was his youngest daughter before he died. And so the one guy pushes Esther down to about 18 to 25 years old, which I like the best.
Yeah.
But the Talmud suggests that Esther, because the name is Hasadah, her father's name is Hasadah, which means 40. The Talmud sometimes suggests that she's 40 years old.
Mm.
And there's also a suggestion that she's 75 years old.
Ooh.
Now, and they think that they might have pushed her age to 40 to 75 because Sarah was in her 60s when the king fell for her.
Right.
Right. Like were the Jewish women just that beautiful and the Persian women in those days just not, you know? I don't know where to go with that, so I will not go anywhere with that.
Well, as we know, as women age, they do get far more beautiful.
Yes.
I tried to give you an out, and you won't take the out.
No, I took the out. I took the out. Didn't you hear me say yes?
Oh, my gosh. My gosh.
Yes. Yeah. So, and you know what? And it's possible. It's possible that he found her gorgeous mm-hmm. you know, in her 70s, 60s, and 70s. Yeah,
just like Sarah, right? And I'm with
just
you.
Just like Sarah.
Yeah.
Just like Sarah. Yeah. Yeah. I had a sister-in-law who was actually very beautiful when she was in her 60s.
Yeah.
And however, I tend to prefer to think that she was in her late teens or 20s.
Yeah.
Because that would have been more in line with the time and in line with the idea of harems and right. concubines and all that kind
right.
of stuff.
Right.
And even birthing, right? A little bit younger if you wanted to have kids.
Right.
So just to say again that the timing of the Book of Esther is just super hard to nail down, right? And how old she was when the king met her, you can do whatever you want with that. You could sing a wonderful song about stuff like that.
Yeah.
And so we don't know. Although the scripture says, let the young woman please the king, where Vashti didn't, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's an interesting story about Vashti because the Herodotus tells a similar story about one of the kings wanting to show off his wife to his friends, and he wanted to let her see her naked, and so he said, you know, I'm gonna when she's changing, I'd like you to stand behind the curtain. Well, she catches him behind the curtain, and she's so ticked off about the whole thing that she makes a plan with him, and they kill her husband, and he becomes the king. And so, like, Herodotus was the Greek historian.
Mm-hmm.
Just very interesting stories, not unlike these kind of stories.
Right.
Not unlike these. So you think that possibly what happens, but you don't know this for sure, but there could be, it could be a true story with just a lot of embellishment.
Okay.
You know, every good story deserves embellishment. So there might be some embellishment going on. Now, some of our more conservative friends would find that difficult. And therefore, I would say this could all be just perfectly accurate to exactly what happened.
Yeah.
And the only piece that we don't know is the actual timing.
Right.
Of everything. And then that works too, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'd still like to put it back and keep Esther around 473. You know, during the time of Xerxes, and that suits me very well.
Hmm.
Now, there's one other thing our audience should know is that Esther was one of the last books to make it into the canon.
Hmm.
There was so much argument about Esther that they didn't want it in the canon. Many didn't want it in the canon. They had so many issues. They had these issues that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
They also had issues with God is not mentioned in this book, and that bothered people.
Okay.
At least we think it bothered people. We don't know for sure. And they think that one of the reasons that Esther finally got into the canon, we speak because this is the coming of the Feast of Purim. Purim comes out of this.
Mm, okay.
And you know, nobody wants to give up a great celebration. So you keep it in the Bible.
Yeah, we don't know why we celebrate Victoria Day. We just celebrate Victoria Day.
We just celebrate. Someone just said, why do you celebrate the beginning of August? And I said, I don't know what the beginning of August is. I just know that in Canada, you have to have one day off every month in the summer or we're going to go out of our minds because winter's coming. What is the one in August called? It's just called August Long Weekend, as far as I know.
In Alberta, it's Heritage Day. In BC, it was BC Day. I believe it's Saskatchewan Day in Saskatchewan or Métis Day.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's pretty weird.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's come back to it, and I still treat this as a completely true story of something that happened, and it happened to the Jewish people. And what happened was really critical to the Jewish people.
Yeah.
The only thing that I struggle with is the timing of it.
Yeah.
But do know that not everybody thinks it's a true story. And some think that it's just a way of talking about how Purim came to be. And Purim is the big festival, right?
Yeah. 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 Okay. Well, folks, sorry, just having trouble getting words out today. Chapter 2, let's start at verse 1. Later, when King Xerxes' fury had subsided, remember he was mad about Vashti, he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what he decreed about her. Then the king's personal attendants proposed, let a search be made for beautiful young virgins for the king. Let the king appoint commissioners in every province of his realm to bring all these beautiful young women into the harem at the citadel of Susa. Let them be placed under the care of Haggai, the king's eunuch, who is in charge of the women. And let beauty treatments be given to them. Then let the young woman who pleases the king be queen instead of Vashti. This advice appealed to the king, and he followed it. He was holding his own Miss Universe contest. He's like, "Well, that sounds like a great idea."
Yeah, let's make it happen.
Verse 5 now.
And they should talk about world peace at some point.
Yeah, that's right. Now there was in the citadel of Susa a Jew of the tribe of Benjamin named Mordecai, son of Jair, son of Shimei, son of Kish, who had been carried into exile from Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, among those taken captive with Jehoiachin, king of Judah. Mordecai had a cousin named Hadassah. I have to say it in a Japanese accent, Hadassah, whom he had brought up because she had neither father nor mother. This young woman, who was also known as Esther, had a lovely figure and was beautiful. Mordecai had taken her as his own daughter when her father and mother died.
And that's all the stuff we just talked about, right?
Right.
But I'd like to mix those stories and just say she was probably a young woman, because it was a young woman that he was after, and I don't know what they considered young, but let's say she was somewhere between 18 and 30. And right. I'd be very comfortable with that. And she's the Mordecai is looking after her as if he's her father, but he's actually her cousin. But he's been looking after her since she was a little girl.
Okay. Now, verse 8. When the king's order and edict had been proclaimed, many young women were brought to the citadel of Susa and put under the charge of Haggai. Esther was also taken to the king's palace and entrusted to Haggai, who had charge of the harem. She pleased him and won his favor. Immediately, he provided her with beauty treatments and special food. Ooh, hey, there you go. Mm-hmm. He assigned her to seven female attendants, that's probably important, selected from the king's palace, and moved her and her attendants into the best place in the harem. Esther had not revealed her nationality and family background because Mordecai had forbidden her to do so. Every day he walked back and forth near the courtyard of the harem to find out how Esther was and what was happening to her.
Yeah, so similar to a Daniel story, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Like they find favor with their guards, and they give them the special food. Now, in her case, he gave them, I don't know what kind of special food you give to a person to make them more beautiful, but obviously I don't know.
Yeah. Would you like another hot dog?
Yeah. Kosher.
That's right. Yeah.
And the other piece was, of course, that they're even though they're in Persia, and they were taken originally captive in Babylon and brought to Persia, the Jews were still in a kind of a slave state, not slaves, but they would not be considered like any new group coming into a country. Mm-hmm. They would be treated as lesser. And so Mordecai says, don't let them know who you are. It's sort of like when the Irish came into the United States. If they could hide their Irishness, they would do that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Because the Americans didn't want these Irish people. They had lots of bad terminology. The Irish, and then when the Swedes came, they hated the Swedes when they first came, right?
Right, right.
Yeah, yeah. And when the Dutch came, nobody cared. It was Canada. No one cared.
Ah, carry on.
yeah. But now there's other people coming into the country, and there's always a lot of issues with that.
Right, right.
And so the issue for the Jewish people was, remember 100 years from now, they're still saying, you know, we're slaves to the Persians.
Right.
Like, we are not free people. We are not our own country. Yeah. So they hide who she is. They don't openly hide her nationality. They just don't talk about it.
Yeah, I get you. No, I get you. Yep. Verse 12. Before a young woman is turned, came to go into King Xerxes, she had to complete 12 months of beauty treatments prescribed for the women, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 with perfumes and cosmetics. Like, wow, talk about, like, you know, getting to get ready in the morning. This is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, and no time in the gym. Like,
yeah, that's right. And this is how she would go to the king. Anything she wanted was given to her to take with her from the harem to the king's palace. In the evening, she would go there, and in the morning, return to another part of the harem in charge of the care of, I can't even say that there. I have no guesses at that one.
What, at Shazgas?
Shazgas, there we go.
Shazgas.
The king's eunuch, who was in charge of the concubines. She would not return to the king unless he was pleased with her and summoned her by name.
Yeah.
When the turn came for Esther, the young woman Mordecai had adopted, the daughter of his uncle Abihail, to go to the king, she asked for nothing other than what Haggai, the king's eunuch, who was in charge of the harem, suggested. And Esther won the favor of everyone who saw her. She was taken to King Xerxes in the royal palace in the 10th month, the month of Tebeth, in the seventh year of his reign. Now the king was attracted to Esther more than any of the other women, and she won his favor and approval more than any of the other virgins. So he set a royal crown on her head and made her queen instead of Vashti. The king gave a great banquet, Esther's banquet, for all his nobles and officials. He proclaimed a holiday throughout the provinces and distributed gifts with royal liberality.
Yeah, and there are some that don't believe that Esther was ever really the queen. They say because only a Persian would be, but then she hid who she was.
Right.
So, and they just there's no Persian literature to suggest that she was queen, but I don't think that matters to this story.
Right.
You know, like he was, this guy was a lush.
Yeah.
Who knows what he's doing from one day to the next?
Well, and after 12 months of beauty treatments, they made her look very Persian anyway.
Mm-hmm.
He was good with it.
Yeah. And I don't know that there's a whole lot of difference in looks between Jewish people and Persian people.
Right.
Like, they're all olive-skinned, right?
Yeah. Yep.
So I have no idea.
Yeah. No, no idea. I think... verse 19 now, folks. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. But Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana, I like that one.
Yeah, he became a rap star later.
yeah. What's your name? I'm Bigthana. and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were impaled on poles. Oof. This was all recorded in the Book of the Annals in the presence of the king.
Yeah. Yeah, so the king had someone that took diaries, wrote down everything that he did all the time.
Right.
And Mordecai was actually in a very prominent position if he was sitting at the gate as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember, those are important things to do.
Yeah.
That's where a lot of business took place. But he found out about this thing and he told on these guys. Impaled on poles was probably about as unpleasant as it sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. They, from one of the ways I heard of it, they kind of start at the back end of you and they run it up through you and then they stab you up. And you don't die until partway through the process. But, you know, you're conspiring against the king.
Yeah, you got what you deserved. Yeah, I got it. Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, if you're going to do that, come up with the thing in your own head and do it yourself. you don't talk about it at the gate.
Yeah. Hey, Joe, I got an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, this becomes very important later in the story. And it's just a wonderful story of, now the Jewish people themselves, this is another thing that would, they would have trouble with, is that she became the given wife to the king of Persia. Mm-hmm. She was a Jewish woman. So this is another thing that would make, get, cause them a little consternation about putting it in scripture.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. And this bit of them keeping a diary of everything the king did and said, that also mm-hmm. becomes important later on in the story too, right?
Oh, very, very important. Very important.
So interesting.
And you can, and therefore you can see God's hand through the whole thing if you choose to.
Yes. Yeah. Interesting part of little foreshadows that happen in this chapter that carry on through the rest of the book.
Yes. Yes. It's certainly not going to happen 42 more times.
Oh, awesome.
That was for our audience. What was that guy's name? What was his name? Started with a G. He did the comedy on the two letter acronyms for.
Oh, Gary Gulman.
Gulman's thing on two-letter. What? It's not an acronym. Is it an acronym?
Two-letter abbreviations for all the states.
Two-letter abbreviations for all the states.
Yeah.
If our audience gets a chance, you got to watch the two-letter abbreviations. Yeah.
And Gary Gulman is probably one of our favorite comedians. Just absolutely stunning.
Yeah. Although we have been liking Tom Pappas lately.
Yeah, we like Tom Pappas too. Because you're all right. You're all right.
I, every time we talk, I have to think, now, were they clean? Were they?
That's right.
They saved the men.
Yeah, Gulman's really clean. My friend, good introduction and start to, as we go through this second chapter of Esther, we're going to see that again, this is kind of like Larry said, it's a bringing together of all this history. There's a reason why Esther's there. There's a reason why God is doing this work and how he's using Esther and her Jewishness later on in the life of the nation of Israel. Thanks for that, my friend. That's great. Folks, as always, we're so appreciative that you come along on our weekly ride through the Bible. And we're just going to keep trucking with Esther here, obviously, for another couple of weeks. And we'll just look forward to the next time we're together. But until then, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was